But you know, I didn't want to preach this message tonight because it's rather a short message. And I couldn't, I kept wanting to go to another message or this message or that message. God kept bringing me back to this message. And for the life of me, I could not understand why he wanted me to preach this. Then Craig started talking about the falling away that we've got going on, all the things that we've got going on in this world. And I'm going to tell you, now more than ever, the world needs the church. Amen. They might say they hate us, but we can't look at them like enemies.
That's right.
We have to look at them like opportunities, no matter what. I mean, if we treat them, if we bundle ourselves up inside these church walls and just ignore them and just worry about ourselves, what good are we?
That's right.
What good are we? Jesus didn't come to save the righteous. It said he came to save that which is lost.
That's right.
And we have to get that same mindset. It says God, it's God's will that none shall perish.
That's right.
Not one. And we have to get that same mindset that, you know, even if people, if they hate us, you know, lost people do what lost people do.
That's right.
You know, it's up to us to act like saved people. You know, if we act like them, how are they going to want what we've got? I mean, they can stay the same on their own. We have to show proof of a changed life. And I was going to do prayer requests, and Craig did them. Took a minute off my message. But I don't get up here without praying first.
Amen.
Look, I'll go ahead and tell you, I know what I can do on my own. I saw what I can do on my own. If you listen to my testimony, the only parts that belong to me are the bad stuff. Anything good in my life is Jesus Christ. I mean,
amen.
So before we go any further, let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you for the privilege of being back in your house and in your presence once again, God. And Father God, we came expecting tonight, God. And while we're few in number, God, you said we're two or three are gathered, God. You would be in the midst, God. And Father God, we just pray, God, that you walk the aisles and pews of this church one more time, God. Speak to each and every one of us today, God. Just sanctify us today through the hearing of our word, God. And if anybody's carried in a burden in this church today, God, we pray before this service is out, they can just put it in your hands, God, and just trust you to handle it, God. And Father God, we love you and thank you. We praise your holy name for everything you do, God. And Father God, we pray for a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost, God, for us to just have a desire, God, just to stand strong no matter what through we go through. God, just continue just to stand strong and hold on, God, and show people that there's hope in Jesus Christ, Father God. And we love you today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. I don't know if any of y'all still watch the news, do you? Does anybody here watch the news still? Just a little. They ain't nothing on it worth watching anymore. I mean, they're absolutely, except for the weather, and bless their heart, they can't get the weather right, you know. The day of the much less the extended forecast, but the day of, you got a better chance of walking outside and looking up and seeing something hit you in the face than them getting it right. But, you know, but there's a trend on the news these days. They're not reporting the actual news anymore. When I was a kid, you could watch the news and kind of see what was going on in the world.
Yep.
But they're not reporting the news anymore. They're using the news now to push these liberal agendas.
Amen.
And push all the things that's against the church. I mean, that's it seems like they won't say they're doing it. But, you know, Satan's a sneaky adversary, right?
That's right.
He'll do it right under your nose. And we're slowly being indoctrinated with things of the things that's not of God.
That's right.
We're living in a society where anybody can stand for anything,
yep,
unless you stand for the Word of God.
That's right.
I mean, you could say, Craig could come out and say, I'm going to marry SpongeBob.
Yep.
And they would say, oh, ain't he brave? And look at him. He's just an innovator. But you know what? Sorry, that wasn't in my nose. If you're standing for God and God's ways, they'll call you a hypocrite.
Yeah.
They'll call you a bigot. And a lot of other words that Christians would not say. I mean, they will trash you down for standing for God's will.
Amen.
And I just had to get that out before we started. Now we can get into my message. Are you ready?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, did anybody get anything out of what I just said. Not a word. Do you know why you didn't get anything out of what I said? No, because I was sitting in a corner, being quiet.
Yeah.
That's where the world wants us now.
Yeah.
Church, it now more than ever, it is time that we stood up and we stood for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, now more than ever, Jesus Christ said, if I be lifted up,
right,
I will draw all men unto me. But see, the world, they're okay if we have church.
Yeah.
They're okay if we gather.
Yeah.
They just want us to stay to ourselves. They want us over in that corner,
yeah,
being quiet.
That's
all right. But church, it's time we stood up.
Yeah, man.
And we start standing for Jesus Christ. Now more than ever, the world needs us to stand for Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Here a while back, a sister at my church, she told a story about a man who worked at a Christian organization, lifelong Christian organization. But this Christian business had buckled to the world. They wanted him to put a sign on the door it's the YMCA, but they wanted him to put a sign on the door that said that they now welcome and condone a lifestyle that is clearly no-no by God.
Right.
They say they wanted him to put a sign on that door. And when this man stood on his faith and refused to put that sign up, he was fired. His very livelihood taken from him. That's what this inclusive society has came to. We live in a world where nobody's ever told that they're lost.
Yeah.
You know, Oprah says that there are many ways to get to heaven,
mm-hmm,
right? But God's word says there's only one way to get to heaven.
Right.
You know, we never tell anybody that they don't meet the requirements to get in. Everybody's a winner. At field day or events, everybody gets a medal. But you know, the Bible clearly says everybody's not going to make it home. We know that's not going to happen. That's why the path is so narrow, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and anybody, like I say, anybody can stand for anything unless you stand for Jesus Christ and what's right in the eyes of God. The world wants us to think that if we stand strong and don't cave in, that they'll take everything from us.
Yeah.
That's what I can't remember what it's called, but they want to bully everybody now. If you don't do things the way the liberal media or liberal people want now, they want to track like they'll strip you from everything.
Right.
Well, I want to tell you today, they can take our job, they can take our freedom, and they may even take our lives. But there's no way they can ever take our salvation.
Amen.
It's like that old song says, laying up my treasures in that home above, trusting, fully trusting in the Savior's love, doing what I can for heaven's holy dove, I'm getting ready to leave this world.
Yeah.
Y'all, if we'll just hold on. I know it's hard as a Christian right now. But if we'll just hold on to that nail-scarred hand of Jesus.
Amen.
You know, it's like I said, this life is just a vapor. You know, we're not going to be here forever, right?
Amen.
And heaven will be your home if you'll just hold on.
Right.
Y'all probably thought for a second I was about to sing. I Googled quench the spirit, and it showed a picture of me with a microphone and some music notes floating over my head. So there's grace for a lot of things. But I ain't sure if it's for my singing. And as I thought about this man that my sister had spoken about at church and how his life was attacked for standing up for what he believed in, I thought about another man in the Bible that was attacked for doing what he thought was right in the eyes of God. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 7. I'm going to be reading verses 54 through 60. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
That was quick. There we go. It says that when they heard these things, they were cut to their heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped up their ears and ran upon him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned him, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he said this, he fell asleep. If you got a few moments, I wish I hadn't closed my Bible there. If you got a few moments, I'd like to preach a short message I've entitled, "If You'll Stand for Jesus, He'll Stand for You."
Amen.
All right. Let's see, where are we at? Before we get into our text today, I want to give you a little backstory on what led us up to this event. Stephen is first mentioned in the book of Acts. I think he's one of the most underrated of all the apostles. You know, he was one of the seven original deacons appointed by the apostles to distribute food and charitable aid to the poor members of the community of the early church. So that's something we need to get a hold of. You know, it's not God's will for the church to be sitting on $1 million and people be next door starving to death. We've got to get outside of the church walls. But Stephen was a man on fire for God. He really was. And he was full of the Holy Ghost and mostly faith in Jesus Christ. You know, he understood that, you know, Jesus Christ is the only hope that this world's got. It was the only hope back then. It's the only hope now. If the Lord tarries, it'll be the only hope 100 years from now. That is the only hope that any of us ever have. I mean, this life, say this life's just a vapor. We are going to spend our eternity somewhere. And without Jesus Christ, it's not going to be in heaven.
That's right.
But, you know, so Stephen was the man on fire for God. And through his faith and the power of the Holy Ghost, Stephen performed many miracles before the people. And in this time, you know, we were kind of under the law. You know, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were hung up in their tradition. Anything that went against what they had done was wrong. You know, they would kill you for it. I mean, it was that's the way it was. You know, they didn't want anything to disturb their traditions. And when those in the synagogue disputed Stephen, well, they disputed Stephen, but they could not argue with his wisdom and power that he spoke. They just couldn't do it. And I'm telling you what, this world, they want to argue this Christianity thing ain't real. They want to say that what we've got is just an emotional experience, that it's just fake, it's just something we do on Sunday just to have somewhere to go. But I'm going to tell you what, when Jesus Christ takes a prostitute, or takes a homeless person, or takes an addict, or takes this person, whatever, and he takes them from here and changes them to here, that's something that you cannot argue with. There is no greater, I mean, to the world, this is a storybook. I mean, it is nothing but a storybook. But they cannot change. When the world has completely wrote off somebody, when they have said there is no hope for them, and then Jesus Christ gets a hold of that person, and they change from here to there. There is no greater proof of what Jesus Christ can do. And that wasn't even in my notes, but that's a bonus. All right. So, and that's why it's so important that we study the Word. You know, when Stephen argued with the Pharisees and Sadducees, the world's going to come to you. They're going to try to get you, number one, to act out of the character of a Christian. And they're going to try to ask you questions that you can't answer. That's why it is so important that we study the Word. I mean, you get this Word in you, you might not be able to pull it up when you want to. But I guarantee, when you need it, it'll be there.
Amen. That's right.
2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved to God." I mean, we got to know this Word. We got to have the Word. And 2 Timothy 4:2 says, "Preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season." Like I said, the world's going to try to trip you up. You got to be ready to reply to whatever they try to come at you with. And they can't argue with this Word. So if you've got this Word in you, you're ready. Stephen, you know, Stephen was both of them verses. He was ready when he was talking to those who wanted to listen, and he was just as prepared when those of the synagogue tried to debate him.
Yeah.
And we, like I say, we have to be just as prepared. Whether we're preaching in this church or we're walking around in Walmart, we have to be just as prepared. Because I'm telling you, Walmart's a mission field.
Amen.
If you saw what people act in Walmart, it is a mission field. They need Jesus. The world will try to trip you up as a Christian. So it's important we be prepared at all times. So when the men of the synagogue couldn't trip Stephen up, what did they do? They told lies about him. They tried to stir the people up. They had Stephen arrested and set up false witnesses against him. If you're going to be a Christian, get ready. If, I'm going to tell you what, if you're a Christian and you're popular with the world, you're probably doing it wrong. I mean, Jesus Christ said we would be hated of all men for His name's sake. So it's okay if they don't like, if the world don't like us, it's okay. But we still got to love them. We can't let it bring us out of character.
That's right.
And in verse 51 through 53, Stephen was finally given a chance to speak for himself. He looks at these people and says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in both heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them and shewed them before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers of, who have received the law and disposition of the angels, and have not kept it." Look, Stephen has been captured. I mean, and, you know, rather than to say, "Listen, let me out. I'm sorry, just let me out," he stood fast.
Amen.
And, I mean, even in looking at losing his life, he continued to stand for Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, we have to stand strong. If we fold when we face opposition, it's easy to be a Christian when everything's going good. But when we stand strong, when we face opposition, that gets the world's attention. They don't have the hope that we have. They don't. Because we know two things. If we're facing opposition, one of two things is going to happen in our life. Either we're going home or we're going home. So we're going to be all right or we're going to be better. That's just the way it is. I mean, there's no way around it.
Amen.
Yeah, like I say, his accusers have him. I keep looking at Craig. Sorry about that. His accusers have him. And he has a chance to stand strong. But what does he do? He accuses the accusers. I mean, Stephen knew by doing this, he wasn't going to help his case.
Right.
He knew that it was not going to help his case in court, but he chose to stand strong for what he believed in.
Amen.
Like I said before, now more than ever, the world's searching for answers. They're running here, they're running here, they're running to these motivational speakers that call themselves preachers now, looking for answers, and they're not finding them. But if we'll stand strong when we've got opposition, you know, that gets their attention. If we can just get their attention, you know, that's half the battle. You know, that's half the battle.
That's right.
There will come a time as a Christian when you're faced with the same thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no way around it. Jesus said it would happen. And it might not be a trial or facing stoning, but you might be faced with losing friends. You might be faced with losing family sometimes for being a Christian. Or your job, you know. That's, you know, like I said before, they can take things from us. They can't take what's truly important, and that's our salvation.
Amen.
That is what is truly important.
Amen.
In a Christian's life, is salvation. So stand strong. Nothing is more important than Jesus and your faith.
That's right.
And when Stephen made his speech to the Sadducees and Pharisees, it upset them so bad. It said they gnashed at their teeth, and they considered themselves to be Israel's religious leaders. And Stephen basically had just charged them with corruption.
Yep.
That had been their job the whole time. They would go around charging other people, but somebody had finally stood up.
Amen.
and charge them.
That's right.
And they couldn't take it. They couldn't take it. In verse 54, it says, "And when Stephen heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth." All I've got wrote down for this verse is, sometimes the truth hurts. You know, sometimes the truth hurts. And these men lashed out at Stephen, but he never lost his focus on God. I'm telling you, we're going to go through some things as Christians.
Yeah.
And we're going to go through times that it seems hopeless. Like there's never going to be a way out. We cannot afford to ever take our eyes off Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I mean, that is hope in all things. And if you notice, in verse 55, it says they lashed out at Stephen. But in verse 55, it says, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." Man, what a sight to behold. You know, but there's something, you hear about Jesus all with God all throughout the Bible. But in this particular verse, there's something different than any other moment in the Bible. Jesus always said to be sitting at God's right hand. But on this day, when Stephen looked up, he saw Jesus Christ standing at God's right hand.
Amen.
I have to tell you today, like I said, if you'll stand for Jesus, he'll stand for you. You know, I think a lot of people think about Jesus as just quiet, reserved, just sitting on his throne. But you have to remember, Jesus Christ was all man. He was all man and all God at the same time. He experiences the same emotions. He's experienced the same emotions that we experience.
That's right.
So on this day, he was standing at God's right hand. You have to remember that Jesus Christ thought that Craig, that my mama, that each one of you was worth dying for.
Amen.
I mean, each one of us as an individual, we need to know that.
Amen.
He thought you were worth dying for.
Amen.
He thought we were enduring torture, taking on the sin of the world, and dying on the cross. They beat him, and you couldn't even tell he was a man anymore.
That's right.
Think about that. He loves you that much. We've all saw the Passion of the Christ and how it kind of hurt. But they said you couldn't even tell he was a man anymore.
Amen.
He took that beating for each one of you.
That's right.
So I imagine when Jesus Christ sees his church stand up for him, it probably excites him.
Amen.
And I can almost see Jesus on this day up out of the sea. I believe, you know, when he saw Stephen stand up, Jesus Christ come out of his seat. You know, he's fired up, and he said, and I can see him. He said, "God, Father, look at this. Look at this. Do you see what this man is doing? This is what I died for. He's standing for what I died for." And I can see him getting that excited. In verse 57 and verse 58, the very people that had accused Stephen on his trial, they had enough. They had had enough. And they rushed him and began to stone him. And you know, there's a lesson in the stoning right here. There is a lesson that every Christian needs to take note of. Stephen kept his eyes on God.
Amen.
The whole time.
Amen.
As he was being attacked, he never let it pull him out of character. And in verse 59, while Stephen was being stoned, he cried out to God to receive his spirit. You know, but Stephen understood the same thing we need to know. Our time on earth is coming to an end.
That's right.
You know, it's a vapor. We're not going to be here but eternity is going to be forever.
Right.
But Stephen also knew, like I say, he knew his eternity was just about to get started. And in verse 60, Stephen cries out to God one more time.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen asked God, can you imagine this kind of love? He understood the love of Jesus.
Amen.
While he was getting killed, he was about to lose his life, he cried out to God not to lay the sin to their charge.
That's right.
Man, that's love. I mean, that's the love of Jesus.
Amen.
See, Stephen understands that we're saved by grace. And it's going to take grace. We're going to have to show grace to the world if we're ever going to get them sin.
That's right.
I mean, if we're ever going to get them saved. I mean, you know, we were all just as lost as these people out here that hate us.
That's right.
We might not have acted like them,
right,
but we're still going to the same devil's hell without Jesus Christ. And without grace, I mean, grace, ain't not one of us going to make it to heaven. I mean,
that's right.
I mean, we can't be good enough. We can't do enough works. It takes grace. I mean, that's just the way it is. And it says, and when he said that, it says Stephen fell asleep. Second Corinthians 5:8 says, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
So, you know, if they kill us, if no matter what they do to us, our final destination is going to be around the throne. We're going to be around the throne. Walking up that tree, of, you know, getting a fruit off of it by the crystal seeds. I mean, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome if we'll just hold on. So instantly, Stephen was in God's presence for eternity. Can you imagine, you know, what the things we all go through things as Christians, right? We go through hard times. But can you imagine you're going through the hardest time of your life, the worst storm that you've ever faced, and then all of a sudden, there's God. I mean, just that quick, where you are robed in white, in God's presence for all eternity, never have to worry about the trials and tribulations of this world ever again, if we'll just hold on. Not too bad for standing for the Lord and wills and ways, you know. You know, well, like I say, we get so focused on the attacks and things we go through as a Christian. Oh, it's so bad. I mean, it's nothing. What the world can do to us, what they can take from us, it's nothing compared to what we've got waiting on us.
Amen.
I mean,
amen.
While I was studying this message, I noticed something. Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. Did many works and wonders while trying to carry out God's will, was wrongly accused, jailed, and tortured. And before he died from the torture, Stephen cried out to God to have mercy on the people who were killing him.
That's
right. Does that sound like anybody else?
Yeah.
Think about anybody else in the Bible. Who does that remind you of?
Jesus.
That's Jesus Christ's story,
yep,
up one side and down the other. I mean,
yeah.
So Stephen's life sort of paralleled the life. It didn't sort of parallel the life of Jesus Christ. It was exactly like the life of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He was like Jesus Christ, as each and every one of us need to be. We're not going to be Jesus Christ. We're not going to be perfect. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to sin occasionally. It's going to happen. We're going to fall short of the glory of God.
Amen.
Bible says if we say we have no sin, then the truth isn't in us, right? So if you say you got no sin, here's the altar right here. You repent, get saved, whatever it's going to take. But, you know, and as quickly as I begin tonight, like I said, I didn't want to preach this message because it's a short message. But God wanted me to preach this message tonight. If you don't get nothing else out of what I said, stand strong. Stand up for Jesus. You know, you're going to face trials and tribulations, you know. Stand strong. I mean, are you going to stand for Jesus? Each one of you. Are you going to stand for Jesus? Are you make a difference for Him? That's why we're here.
That's right.
There's a reason God has tarried so long. Like I said, it's His will that none shall perish, right?
Amen.
We're the workers. We're saved unto good works, right?
That's right.
I mean, we are God's ambassadors. We have to go out and get it. We have to get an urgency about us.
Yeah.
We have got to get a sense of urgency about us because we're not promised another 5 minutes. We're not promised another 10 minutes. So that person that's always cut you off, that's been mean to you, or just, you know, just hadn't ever seemed like they were reachable, keep trying. Keep trying. We can either stand for Jesus or we can go to that corner back there.
Yeah.
We can go to that corner and sit down and be quiet. Worry about ourselves. Just wait for the rapture. Well, is that what you want to do? No. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to make disciples. We're called to spread the good news in spite of what it may cost us.
Amen.
So no matter what you do, always stand for Jesus, because you will always find Him. So like I say in closing tonight, whether you're facing opposition, whether they're trying to take your job, whether the batteries are trying to die, no matter what's going on, stand up for Jesus. The world needs it more now than ever.
That's right.
Thank y'all.
Amen.
Anybody got anything before we close?